The following financial professional have asked the question that I will now put to the senior manager present at this event. Gonzalo Sánchez-Bordona, UBS, Peter Bisztyga, Bank of America, Daniel Rodríguez, Bestinver, Philippe Ourpatian, ODDO, Manuel Palomo, Exane BNP, Tomás Reis, CaixaBank, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Javier Garrido, J.P. Morgan, Ahmed Farman, Jefferies, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, James Brand, Deutsche Bank, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Ahmed Farman, Jefferies, Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital Markets, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and finally, Markit Tapkuen from Berenberg. The first question is related to the net income 2023 and the main drivers that has driven to these results.
Well, I think the first one is our increase is 11% due to the higher investment in networks and renewables. I think this 11% is even after 170 million of provision for the future efficiencies, where that means there should be, instead of 11, should be, as Pepe was mentioned, around 14%. I think we have higher renewable production. We recovery the hydro resources resulting with higher production. I think something I mentioned is the pumping storage volume, with that is avoid volatility. I think it's the average production tradition in Spain in hydro is around 12 TWh, and I think this year only in pumping storage we produce 5. What that means with a dry or not dry year, we are able to produce and generate more and more, minimizing the volatility that is already with these new times, I think. The increase of renewable in the mix is generating. I think it's in terms of the energy purchase as well, we diminish the buying of electricity. In 2022, we bought on the range of 200. Also, the retail deficit in the U.K., I think is almost 300 million, what we had already recovered during the year. All these are making that one. I think more production, lower purchase, recovery of the deficit of U.K., and more contribution to our networks as a consequence of the increase of our investment in these regulated activities, which, as you know, is amount close to 50% of our total EBITDA in this moment.
Next question is related to Mexico. Could you give us an indication of how much the cash in after tax of the asset rotation in Mexico should be, and how much certain are you on receiving the funds on February 26th?
I think it's we are expecting to receive this on the 26th of February, as I mentioned in the presentation. I think it's and that is consequence that the last approval with remind was the competition authorities, which is COFECE. We got the approval a few days ago. We are expecting that the one receive this amount, the board of directors of Mexico, our subsidiary in Mexico will met, and I think it's and I think we will know already the conclusion about the terms of the whatever capital gain they can already achieve. I think it's in any case, I think all the details about that one will be already, we will provide you as soon as we have all the detailed one that is finally the cash. Certain, before the 21st of March, you will have all the detail, and we'll give you all the detail by the 21st of March in the Capital Market Day.
Next question related to the 2024 guidance in net income. Can you please give us a bridge from full year 2023 to full year 2024 net income? What are the main variables that could lead this growth to be in the higher part of the range, +7%?
I think the first thing in 2024, I think the first one is the new investment. I think we are going to invest 12 billion, which I think is in networks. We have already commitments on the new rate cases. I think, as I mentioned, in Brazil, we have already 75% of all our RAP is already signed the new rate cases with increase of commitment of investment. In United States, the same thing, with new rate cases, we cover 80% of the asset base, New York and Maine as well. We have new rate cases and with new commitment of investment and new remuneration. In the case of UK, I think it's a new investment under RIIO-ED2, I think I have to say, in the RIIO-ED2, the awarded amount for investment is going to be overpassed in a significant manner. So I think it's probably the amount, if I don't remember bad, was on the range of 1.3, 1.4 billion awarded amount for CapEx. Probably are going to overpass the 2 billion, and I think we are paying according with the extra investment we are making. And in production and customer, so I think it's, our production has been normalized in the case of wind factor. Hydro reserves are already in line with historical average, even more than historical average. I think we are, most of our dams are on the range of 70-80% capacity cover. The increase in role of pumping storage, as I mentioned, I think last year we made 5 terawatt hours, probably the year we're going to make more. In offshore, as I mentioned as well, the Saint-Brieuc is already just completely in production. Just to give you an idea, the amount of the contribution of this offshore wind farm of France is similar to the reduction of EBITDA we are going to have in Mexico as a consequence of the transaction. So it's a really, it's a huge operation. In onshore, we expect to put in service 2,000 new megawatts. And I think something very important is 100% of all our electricity is sold as price which are secure. I think we are not being affected by the volatility of the today's prices. The case of the cashing this 6 billion of in the partnership with others, so as well is going to help already to diminish our financial expenses. And as a consequence, that is what we are expecting, this growth between 5% and 7%, with reaching for the first time in the company history this 5 billion net profit by the year end.
Next question is related to the guidance of net debt. Can you also provide a guidance for the 2024 net debt?
Pepe?
Yeah, we are expecting to end the 24 with a net debt of around 47 billion, more or less.
Related to the hydro in 2024 included in the guidance, in 2024 guidance, what is the extra contribution for hydro versus a normal year? Can you quantify in million euros?
Armando?
You know, as always, our budget is based on average hydro year, as always, but I want to highlight what the chairman is saying, three very positive from the this year, 2024. First of all, we will full commission the Tâmega facilities that will increase our capacity. The second is the good levels of the reservoirs that we have now. The most important things, we are taking advantage of the market volatility. It's very important increasing our pump hydro production during the year.
Next question is related to taxes in Spain, the 1.2 revenue tax. What is your expectation for 1.2 revenue tax impact in full year 24? Any visibility about how energy transition capex deduction to 1.2% revenue tax in Spain will be defined?
Well, I think as we explained, I was shocked when I was seeing the numbers when we closed accounts, that seeing that our taxes, a part of the corporate tax, the levies, are more than our personal expenses, more than our external services, more the operation and maintenance, and more the financial cost together. So, which I think is, I think the Pepe has already mentioned that the average in other countries is 20% of the operational cost. and here is 120% of the operational cost, so which I think is something which some of these taxes are already temporary base. I think one has already disappeared, which is the price cap, which has been after the approval of the measure, the new regulation for European Union, the reform of the market. But I think another one, which I think they are still maintained, even was a temporary. So I think the case of 1.2, a part of the is already is in the court, a challenge in the court. But I think what I heard from the government is that they would like to modify that one in a manner that that can be already minimized or transform according with the, or diminish with the, according with the investment you can make. In any case, I think is something which is has not a logic. It's the only country where still we are keeping these taxes based in revenues, so which has no sense. And I think is. And is making already the country, which is, I already hear the list, with the 38 different taxes or levies in the country, which I think 18 are from the central government, and another 20, well, now it's 22, because there are another two regions which has already increased at regional. So I think is no sense. I think that is making the things in a manner which is not precisely making the things as attractive have to be. And I'm sure in the transitory measures, we can already live, but I think in a stable base, I think is something which is out of whatever is in the rest of the world. So Spain have not to be different as well in that one. We have to align with the rest of the Europeans and align with the rest of the countries, because I think it would like then this country will be as attractive as all we like then it will be.
Next question has in some way a relation with the one with the recent answer from you, Mr. Chairman. Networks investment in Spain. We are seeing continued investment upgrades across several countries in power grids, but not as much in Spain distribution. In which way would you like to be incentivized to invest more, and what is the status of conversation with the government and regulators?
Well, I think what we are facing is a law which was made in 2012, if I don't remember that, during the previous government. It was after for trying to cover the electricity deficit they have already retained. I think the country we have already a huge deficit, and at that time the government they took certain measures to try to minimize. One of them is that one, which I think is not much sense in, because link the GDP with the investment in grids, I don't know what is the relation. It's something we has not, in my view as engineer, I don't know if for the economists is different, but GDP and the electricity grid, I not think what is the connection. But that remind, that is the typical thing which is made, and the following government has not already modified that one. So now it's already a global demand internationally, that if we would like to electrify the economy, if we would like to reach the carbonization target, if we would like to diminish the external dependence, the grids are crucial. Has been said by the COP, in the COP28, is the European Union is saying the same thing, is the international agency is saying the same thing, and in Spain as well. The plan of the national plan of for renewables and electrification as well is included in that one. So I think that is something with one time to another one have to be changed. And I think that is what the Minister of Energy, by President of the government, is already just mentioned, that she is open to change those one. But for that is not enough to take the cap. I think they have to make something attractive. Today's with the today's rules, if that no change, the attractiveness of the investment in renewables are very low. I think it's the return expected in network. The expectation of returns for the next few years, if that is not modified, is much lower than those one we have in the rest of geographies. So I think if all countries, led by United States, which is the highest returns, followed by Brazil or followed by Britain or whatever countries we have present, I think they have to align with those ones. So, and that is what now we are in process. I think it's very open discussion. I think it's what we are perceiving by the regulators and government is the interest of modifying this rule and reaching some level of agreement which makes attractive to make the necessary investment that the country require. And that is what I can tell you about that one.
Next question related to power price in Spain and the UK. Can you share a chief power price for 23 and 24 in Iberia and the UK?
Armando?
Okay, so for this year, 2024, in Spain, we have for our generation for this year already sold and around 100 euros per megawatt hour. In the UK, the price should be something around 150 pounds per megawatt hour.
Next, related to PPAs, could you position the average PPA price in euro megawatt hour you reached with your new corporate off-taker in 2023 and by geographies?
Armando?
Okay, signing PPAs for us is not new. We have been signing PPAs for many years, but we are continuing accelerating, and we have new PPA signed worldwide for in 2023 for around 5.3 terawatt hour per year in the whole all the regions. As you know, we are the leader in the European market PPA. We are selling more than almost 1,000 megawatts of contracted supply. That is something around 3.5 terawatt hour per annum that we are selling only in Europe. And for prices, we have signed just the last signed PPAs we signed, for instance, in Germany, something in the range of 70, 80 euros per megawatt hour.
Next question is related to the offshore wind. Can you talk about offshore wind plans for this year? Which auctions do you intend to participate in? How are you seeing offtake prices developing?
Well, I think, as you know, we have already two projects in New England, which I think is we are analyzing to participate in the joint Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island auction. I think, you know, we are committed, but we will be very selective. It depends very much on the terms of this one. We have already, after the participating another one, we have a period of negotiation, which I think is 6 or 7 months. So I think nothing is going to be the final up to the middle of this year or after summer. In UK, we have as well, I think it's a good news. The government, after our conversation with them, has already modified the terms and the conditions of the new auction. So I think the strike prices for the ER6 auction is 66% higher than it was for AR5. As well, we are analyzing this one. We have as well a couple of projects to participate with around 2,000 megawatts, and I think we will see what is going to be our final position on that one. But we are positive in the view. In the another ones, I think there are very many auctions in the announced in Germany, France, Portugal, Spain, whatever. But in most of them are still in a draft phase. So when we have more details, we will be ready to take a decision if to participate or not. But I think we are. I would like to summarize: we are positive in offshore. We are committed. We have a good team. But we will be, as we been in the past, selective, going to those ones which are not attractive, and not going to those ones we feel are not attractive enough.
Next question is related to U.S. Offshore business. Could you elaborate about the U.S. offshore current market condition regarding CapEx and priced trend?
Well, I think once again, we were the first mover. I think we won 4 years ago, 3 years ago, two auctions for Connecticut, for Massachusetts. We saw that the terms in which we have already made the bid had already changed drastically before deciding to make the FID, and so that's why we went to the authorities of both the states first to renegotiate the terms, and when we saw that that is impossible, it forced ourselves to renounce. Many of our colleagues and competitors were not enough, let's say, agile as we did. And they not only has not already took the decision we took at the right time, but I think they've been forced to take the decision later on after making a huge expenditure and committed a lot of money. We forced themselves to make a huge write-off. I think the cost of renouncing to this project in our case was $40 million, which I think Pepe has already mentioned as some extraordinary expenses we have already in year 2023. But another one, they've been forced to make billions of dollars of write-offs on that one. So now the terms, it looks, then is changing. I think the recent auction in New York shows that they are already accepting certain of the rules that we've been already discussing, to give already taking the time between the moment we made the bid for the auction up to the moment that you made the FID. We can take years because the period of permits and et cetera, is long in the state. So I think they gave the opportunity of revising this price auction according with certain parameters. And second is as well to adjust the final price with certain parameters, inflation or whatever, for the period of the duration of the PPA. So I think those are positive. I think it's now in the another state, that's New York, another state, something is like, but still is not completed. But they gave already an opportunity, as I mentioned before, to negotiate. Since the moment you participate, to negotiate during a certain number of months with the different regulators of the state, the terms of your offer. So, which I think probably all these things will be included on that one. If the things goes in the right direction, we will proceed. If not, we will renounce to those ones. So as a simple, I think is plenty of opportunities in this moment of different countries for auctioning offshore. There are not very many players would will be ready. We have the capabilities, the technology and the knowledge for making those ones. And I think we would like to be on this one, but as I insist on that one, committed but selective, as we are in all the things related to renewable, particularly in offshore, with the investment are huge.
Next is related to solar PV. In the conclusion slide, you comment on wind onshore and offshore addition. Have you changed your mind regarding solar PV?
No, I think it's, I always say the same thing. I think is the all technologies are needed for achieving the target of autonomy, decarbonization, self-sufficiency, et cetera, et cetera. It depends. I think it depends on the countries, it depends on the region, it depends on the moment. I think solar PV is good in certain countries, in certain areas of the countries. Wind is good in certain countries, in certain parts of the countries. And so I think we are not in favor of one or another one. I think it depends. Saying that, they are already, we have to analyze carefully in each country what is the curve of production and the curve of demand, as I show you in the last presentation. And I think it's clear if everybody makes only solar, so probably at the middle of the day, it will be an overproduction of electricity, which I think in some countries like Spain, for us it's good, because we can already use this overproduction for pumping water. We can already generate electricity in the hours where the sun is not shining. So that's why I think we are not in favor of it. It depends. But I think in the particular case of Spain, we feel that large scale production of solar can already give us an opportunity of gaining and making an extraordinary contribution of all our large-scale pumping storage facilities, would We are unique in the country on this one, and we continue already investing. We've been first movers on that one for the last 20 years. We continue being on this one. I think we just completed the pumping storage facilities of Tâmega in Portugal, which is fully connected with Spain as well, in Portugal. We are in this moment, as I mentioned before, already building new pumping storage facilities for almost 1,000 MW. We gave already 20 million kilowatt hours of pumping storage capacities. Last year, we made 5 terawatt hours of pumping storage production in Spain, and probably this year, if the volatility continues, not only we can help the system, thanks of our pumping storage facility, because this volatility is very, very difficult to manage in the system, but as well to the same time that we help the system to keep the lights on, we expect to have already some extra contribution to our accounts.
Next question is related to M&A. At the beginning of the year, you ended the merger agreement with PNM, and you will soon receive the cash in for the Mexican generation assets. How do you intend to invest these additional resources?
Well, I think we will, we have the meeting on the 21st of March, the Capital Market Day, and we'll give you more detail. But I think I would like to tell you something clearly. I think I mentioned that our, in this moment, in networks, we have huge opportunities. So, United States, I think only in the case of New York, our rate case commitment is $7 billion of investment of up to 2026 in transmission and distribution. Plus another probably $3 billion in transmission and up to 2030. We have already U.K. transmission, as I mentioned, huge demand. Only, I think the recent days, we have launched an auction for 5.4 billion pounds of purchase of equipment, expecting to secure the supply chains for the future investment required in the country. And I think in Brazil, the situation as well is huge on that one. So I think we have plenty of opportunities, either in the state, in networks, either in Brazil, in networks, either U.K. in networks. So I think only that one. Plus, I think what I mentioned, the auctions that we can participate in renewables in different countries. But I think certain networks, which is already as our core business or more core business, we represent 50% almost of our EBITDA, is already an area in which we have plenty of opportunities to grow with existing commitments we have already taken in different countries.
Last question is related to hybrids issues. We saw Iberdrola recently issued a hybrid bond with coupon around 4.7%. That this indicated that the company could undertake more hybrids, and if so, how much more hybrid capacity the company has?
Pepe?
Well, yeah, no, as we mentioned in the last Capital Markets Day, the strategy of the group is to maintain more or less the same hybrids that we have right now. We issued a 700 million hybrid because we had to roll it over, no? We don't have more hybrids, you know, to roll over in the next month, so we are comfortable there. But the idea is not to increase the amount of hybrids issued by the group. Although, as you know, the group could issue much more, has a much higher hybrid capacity, eh? But in principle, the strategy is to maintain the same hybrids issued as we have up to now.
With this 14 question, we are finishing the Q&A session, and now please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
Well, perhaps I will conclude with certain message of optimism. I think we are already certain opportunities, which has already been a problem, but I think is can be is an opportunity. Taxes cannot be worse, levies, so I think it can improve. The investment of Mexico is a clear opportunity. Co-investment with others is as well a good opportunity for diminishing our financial cost. 50% of our business is regulated, Regulated means we are protected against of financial cost, which is a pass-through, and is protected against inflation. So we are already a lot of opportunities in the regulated business to grow. And as well, we have already a lot of opportunities in renewables being already selected. So that's why I think it's, those things and make ourselves a bit different. And I think that will be the basis of our Capital Market Day on 21st of March. So up to this day, thank you very much for attending this presentation. And I think if you have any question, I think our investment relations team can already give you additional information that you may require. Thank you very much. I see you in London on the 21st of March. Thank you.